Yet again, the Secretary General of the United Nations has called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. This after Israel announced the first steps in its operation to take over Gaza City. Israel has called up tens of thousands of reservists and is pressing ahead with plans to seize Gaza's biggest urban centre, ignoring growing protest at home and international support for an independent Palestinian state. Israel is also pressing ahead with plans to build a new illegal settlement in the West Bank that would bisect the area, cutting it off from East Jerusalem. These latest moves raise questions about the potential for a new ceasefire proposal to move forward. The death toll since the October 7th Hamas attack that killed 1,200 and saw 251 taken hostage has now reached past 60,000 Palestinians in Gaza. Joining us from Tel Aviv, Shana Oppenheimer, senior journalist with BBC Monitoring. And Shana, reserve troops have been called up by the Israelis. Has this operation on Gaza City already begun?
Yes, it certainly looks like the army is kind of laying the groundwork in its initial stages for its eventual full-on offensive on Gaza City. So the army says that they've established footholds on the outskirts of the city. We're seeing them kind of operate in areas like Jabalia, Beit Hanun. And it's also coming after days of quite intense bombing and artillery fire, and even reports that Palestinians from those areas are already starting to leave.
So if Palestinians on the move, and we know from satellite imagery that much of Gaza is devastated, where can they move to?
Well, that's unclear. The army has said that they will kind of put out evacuation notices, but it's worth noting that the army is already in control of about 75% of the Gaza Strip. We've seen time and time again throughout the duration of this war that areas the army designates as safe zones are not entirely safe, are not immune from Israeli airstrikes, from Israeli fire. So there is certainly a lot of concern about the civilian population there and just the unfolding humanitarian crisis there and kind of where this leaves the population.
What is the Israeli justification for this move on Gaza City?
Well, for kind of since the very beginning of this war, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has talked about a total defeat of Hamas. And he says that Gaza City is kind of the last place the army needs to operate in order for that to happen. He's talked about the army being just steps away from a total defeat of Hamas. He's used this rhetoric, however, a number of times throughout the war, notably ahead of a very intensified operation on Rafah last year. And I think there's also a lot of skepticism. We even saw kind of 2-3 weeks ago when the army was kind of considering this plan, we saw the army chief of staff come out and say that there was almost nothing militarily left for Israel to do in Gaza, yet Netanyahu is pushing ahead with this, insisting that Hamas can be defeated, should be defeated. And part of this is perhaps what critics say is his desire to prolong this war, to stay in power as long as possible, because of how heavily his far-right coalition partners, who are quite key to his political survival, are pushing for this.
And this comes at a time when there's a ceasefire deal on the table, or a ceasefire proposal on the table. Does it seem clear, and I know the Israeli war cabinet meets today, is it clear that given this assault on Gaza City, the Israeli position is a rejection of that proposal?
Well, Israel has yet to formally respond to Hamas's acceptance of the latest proposal. There were kind of reports that they were supposed to discuss the proposal and Israel's response at this war cabinet today. But there's a lot of ambiguity around what's going to happen. And that's being noted in domestic media, that Netanyahu himself is being very ambiguous about where Israel stands on ceasefire talks, we understand from reporting that Israel will not send a delegation for further negotiations. They've said that they want to conduct negotiations under fire, and they have for a few weeks and certainly in the past few days presented what they say is Hamas's softening as a result of military action, kind of saying that they will kind of press ahead with that. They don't want what they're calling a partial deal, which is a temporary ceasefire. They want a full deal for the release of all hostages, which is something that Hamas has been demanding kind of from the very start of this war. And Israel has been the one to say, we don't really want to end the war. Mm-hmm. So it's quite an interesting switch up.
Let's turn to the West Bank and this land, this E1 lands. Now, Israel has long backed away from pursuing this particular illegal settlement development, and that in the teeth of US disapproval from successive presidents. But does Netanyahu now believe Donald Trump has his back and will not block its progress?
Well, there's certainly been this long-standing perception, even during Trump's first term in office, that he would support some kind of annexation of the occupied West Bank. And it's worth noting that on the ground, in reality, creeping annexation has been the reality for a very long time. But plans for E1, which will essentially cut the West Bank in half and also cut off East Jerusalem from the West Bank, they've been delayed for almost two decades due to so much international criticism and particularly U.S. criticism. I have not seen yet any kind of criticisms of this move from the U.S. It seems that they believe that this is a domestic issue. We've even seen the U.S. ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, appear on Israeli media in the past 24 hours saying that Israel kind of can, you know, has the ability to maintain independence and make these decisions on its own.
The BBC's Shayna Oppenheimer in Tel Aviv. Thank you very much.